Bible reminds us that we can sing redemption song. As the one song says, there's a song in my heart that the angels can't sing. We have seen things that no other beings have seen. We've seen things that no other human person has seen. The Christian church experiences things that nobody else on the face of the planet experiences. Our experience is unique. That means our outlook should be unique. Our vantage point, our worldview, our attitudes should be unique. We've seen things. As I mentioned to you before, when I first started to believe in the name of the Lord, it might have seemed rational on some level or another for me to doubt. I hadn't seen very much by that stage. I hadn't seen very much at that point. But I've seen some things, my brothers and my sisters. I've seen things. I have every right and every reason to rejoice. There is nothing that I can see now that can eclipse the things that I've seen in the heavenlies, the things that I've seen in my life experience. No bad thing that I could see now, no bad news that I could hear now, nothing that would eclipse what I've experienced in this life. What I've seen. I've seen God, my brothers and my sisters. I've seen His mercy. I've seen His grace. I've heard the voice of God. I've heard His gospel message. I've heard His good news. There is nothing that the devil can say to me now. There is nothing that the devil can show me now. I've seen God. And so I don't care what I see when I read the newspaper. I don't care what I see when I watch some ticker tape go by. I don't care what the enemy is trying to tell me about the past or the future. I don't care. Because I've seen the face of God. There is nothing else now. You as a Christian person have seen things that nobody else has seen. And has understood things that nobody else has understood. The angels don't understand what you understand. And the people of the world have not seen what you've seen. They should be sad. They should be worried. They should be concerned about whether or not they're going to be able to make the rent or the mortgage. They should be worried about stuff like that. But you've seen God. You've seen the faithfulness of God. For them, it is reasonable, it is rational to fear. They should be afraid. But for us, it is unreasonable. It is irrational to be afraid. For us, it is immoral to be afraid. Because we have seen things that nobody else has seen. And God could say to us at any given time, who are you to be afraid having seen what you've seen? And He could say to us at any given time, who are you to refrain from rejoicing, considering everything that you've seen and everything that you've heard? I might look a little strange as I walk down the street in this city with a smile on my face and a song in my heart, but I don't care. You see, I've seen some things. I've heard the voice of God, and I know that God is true. I know that no word that ever comes out of His mouth is a lie. I know that I can trust Him from top to bottom. I know I can believe everything that He's ever said. Nobody can wipe this smile off my face. Nobody can take this joy from my heart. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I don't care what they say in the Daily News. I couldn't care less what they say in the Post. I've heard the good news. I know the voice of God. Now I have an obligation and a responsibility in this generation. And it's very simply this: to be absolutely certain that God gets his due in this earth. To be absolutely certain that somebody is going to give him some praise today. That somebody's going to bless his name today. Now, I'm not obligated to praise him from your seat, and you're not obligated to praise him from mine. But I am obligated to praise him from my seat. I am obligated in this sense to be certain that of the almost 7 billion people on the face of this planet, there is at least somebody giving him praise. So I don't care what I happen to be going through that day. I still have a job to do. I don't care how difficult it might be that day. I still have a job to do. And I can't depend upon the fact that somebody else is going to do it for me. I can't depend upon the fact, as that one song says, ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify his name. Ain't no tree gonna lift its branches. As long as I'm alive to glorify his name. You see, I'm gonna praise his holy name. There's no doubt about that. As long as I'm alive, I'm gonna be certain that somebody on the face of this planet is giving God his glory. That somebody on the face of this planet is giving God his praise. So I might be going through a difficult time one day. I might be going through a hard time another day. That doesn't matter to me. I still have a job to do. And I could be saying, say for instance, on a Thursday night, I might be going through some difficult times. And I can say, but that's all right. There's plenty of people in room 201 lifting up their voice and praying to God. Yes, that's a wonderful thing. But you see, I can't depend upon that. Because it might be, let's just say, for instance, nobody happens to show up. Or maybe everybody who shows up decides that God owes them something and they're not going to praise him until he fulfills it. I don't know. I know that that's not what happens here, but I'm just saying there's a possibility, as slight as it is. I have to be sure that somebody is giving God his praise in the earth. I have to be absolutely certain. That is my life call. I have to be sure, firstly, because I know God deserves it. I know he deserves praise. I don't have to know about anything else. That alone is enough to cause me to praise God's name. I don't have to know how tomorrow is going to go. I don't have to know that I'm going to be able to pay my rent. I don't have to know that I'm going to be able to fix my car. I don't have to know that I'm going to be able to take the train. I don't have to know any of that. I know this, that God is worthy to be praised, that he ought to be praised, that somebody ought to give him glory just because he's God, just because he is who he is. I don't have to have a list of reasons to praise the Lord. Now, the Bible tells me that I ought to consider all of his benefits and all of those wonderful things. But it begins with this reality. He's God. And as such, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to bless his holy name. But I also bless the Lord because of the fact that I know that that's what I was created for. See, the world would have you believe and have me to believe that we don't have any real function, that we're a cosmic accident, that it doesn't really matter what we do. What we do with ourselves, what we do with our children, what we do to one another, it doesn't really matter. But the Bible tells me that I ought to give God glory because that's what I was created for. I was created in his image and after his likeness. Everything about me cries out to praise him. So again, I don't need 1,000 reasons. I don't need to enumerate this thing and that thing. I praise him because that's what I am. The wind doesn't have to have 1,000 reasons to blow. The sun doesn't have 1,000 reasons to shine. The sun doesn't have to say, well, I'll shine if this thing happens and if that thing happens. Christians must shine. We must praise God. We must bless the Lord. Not because things happen to be going right. Not because our lives seem to be going right. Not because we seem like we've had the best day or the best week. Not because we feel like we deserve to. We do it because we were created to. That's what gives us our purpose. You find the person that's been chasing after money because they thought that that was the purpose of life. And you ask them when they accumulate that money, how happy are you? You ask that person who's been searching after position and power, and you wait until they get that position and power with all of its stress and all of its headaches and all of its backstabbing. And then you ask them, is that sufficient purpose? And you take that person who's in the quiet place in the presence of God, who's in the holy place lifting up their arms and giving him glory and praise. And you ask them, is that sufficient purpose? I'm telling you, my brother and my sister, we were made to praise God. Whenever you and I are not praising God, we are malfunctioning. You show me somebody who doesn't praise God, I'll show you somebody who's malfunctioning, and I'll show you somebody who's dysfunctional. We were created to praise him, so I praise him because of who he is, and I praise him because of who I am. But not only that, I praise him because when I and when you were not what we were supposed to be, he came and made us brand new. I praise him not only because I was born to, I praise him now because I am both willing to and able to. After having been at a place in life when I was neither willing nor able. The Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit who's working in us, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. That is, he is the one that's making us both willing and able. I praise him because I can. I praise him because I want to. See, I know enough about him to want to praise him. I've seen enough of him to want to praise him. I praise my God because everything in me wants to. When I was lost, I wanted to on a certain level because I was created in his image and after his likeness, but I didn't want to when it cost me anything. I didn't want to when it hurt. I didn't want to when it caused me to be cast out, when it caused me to be less respected by intellectual peers and things of that nature. But then he came and he made me new. And now everything in me wants to praise him. And I want to praise him no matter what it costs. And I want to praise him no matter what time of day or no matter what the weather. I want to praise him in the midnight as surely as I want to in the noonday. Because it is the Holy Spirit who is in me, both making me willing and able. He makes me want to, and he makes me able to. I praise him because I want to. I praise him because I can. The sinner can't praise the Lord. Or they can say hallelujah when they hit the lotto, but they can't praise the Lord. They can say hallelujah if they think it's going to make them hit the lotto, but they can't say praise the Lord. They can't say it so that it penetrates the heavens. Or you hear people saying it all the time because they think somehow it's going to be some lucky charm or some kind of religious talisman. Or they say, oh, I'm just going to say this because it's the same as saying, on some level or another, you know, good luck to you or this, that, and the other, or whatever, good luck to me or this, that, and the other. But to actually praise him. So a person will say, God bless you, or with this, that, and the other, whatever the case might be. Or they'll say, amen, or they'll say hallelujah, or whatever the case. But for you and for me, it's different. When we praise the Lord, this is not just churchies or churchianity. When we say praise the Lord, we say it because the Holy Spirit is in us, causing praise to reverberate in our entire being. We praise the Lord because we can. You and I have been invited into God's house to praise Him. Like I said before, I understand when people in church say things like welcome into this place and things like that. I understand what they mean by it, but I think we got it all wrong. Who am I to welcome somebody into their own house? I'm happy to be welcomed into His house. This is God's house. I don't welcome Him into it. He welcomes me into it. He said, this is my house. This is my name. This is my glory. This is my fame. This is my spirit. These are my people. And if you're willing to respect that, then welcome. So when I come into this place, I know that I have been welcomed to praise Him. I know that I have been welcomed to honor Him. My brother and my sister, do not take that privilege lightly. You cannot praise Him unless He invites you to. So if you find it hard to praise the Lord, one of two things is going on. Either you have forgotten that you have been given this wonderful privilege, or you don't have this wonderful privilege. But if you are a Christian, then you have, without question, the wonderful privilege of praising God all the time. Don't ever let the devil lie to you and tell you you don't have that privilege. And don't ever let your flesh cause you to forget that you have this wonderful privilege. It is your privilege. It is your honor. It is the greatest honor that could ever be bestowed upon you. Don't worry about meeting the president. Don't worry about getting some medal. Don't worry about getting some trophy. Don't worry about becoming famous. Don't worry about getting your face on the headlines or in the front page of some newspaper. Don't worry about that. Those are trifling. Those mean nothing. You have the privilege of at any time lifting up your voice to God and giving Him such a praise that it cuts through the very heavenlies and is heard on heaven, so that all of the holy angels can hear your heart praising God. It is the highest privilege conceivable. Never take it lightly. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter how difficult the day. Please forgive me if I don't seem politically correct when I say there is never a time when you cannot praise God. Somebody said, "Bro Will, it's getting so bad I can't even pray right now." The only thing that keeps you from praying is the fact that you are not a Christian. If you are a Christian person, you can always pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Somebody's lying. When somebody comes to me and say, "Brother Will, I can't pray," I open up the scripture. I say, "God said this, you say that, somebody's lying." Now let's work this thing out. That's why you don't see a lot of people lying enough to get counseled by me. You know what I mean? But I say this not to be cold and not to be cruel. And of course, I wouldn't say it the way I'm saying it now. But I say this to remind people of their right and of their privilege as sons and daughters of God. You and I can praise God all the time. Sometimes it might feel different than other times. Sometimes you might be a bit more exuberant. Sometimes you can praise Him from here. Sometimes you have to open up and just read a few Psalms. Do whatever you have to do. Many of the Psalms, in fact, most of the Psalms are lamentations. If you have to cry, cry along with David, but praise your God. Bless the Lord. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him praise, and overthrow the throne of Satan. You see, one of the reasons why I praise the Lord is because I know it kills devils. Very simply put, praising God kills demons. And I know it. It shuts the mouths of devils. It dispels and despoils every lie of the enemy. And when somebody's trying to tell me that the Lord is not good today, I begin to praise his holy name, not just in word, but in deed and in life, because my goal is to counteract every lie the devil is trying to tell. So if as a Christian person, I'm allowing myself to be overrun and overwhelmed, what I'm saying is the devil is right. God doesn't come through every time. And so I ought not to praise him every time. But that's a lie that I choose to dispel. So I'm going to make sure that every day the lie of the enemy is being put to the test. And every day it's being clearly proven a lie. So the Bible says at some point something to the effect of one will put 1,000 to flight. And I believe one expression of truth will put 1,000 lies to flight. It is my prerogative. It is my privilege to praise the Lord. But it is also an offensive weapon, a sword in my hand, a sword in my mouth. I refuse to let the devil live freely. He contests every step that I take, and I contest every step that he takes. He wants to kill me, and I want to kill him too. So I'm going to praise God. I'm going to bless the Lord. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it costs. I've already made up my mind. I'm not negotiating anymore. I'm going to give God glory. That's just the way that's going to work. And if it ain't cool, it ain't cool. Right? If it don't get a bunch of doors open to me, that's fine. I like where I work. I'll be right here. I'm not looking to be president. I don't care about being a senator. And I'm not looking to be politically correct. I really don't care about getting a television show. I need to be certain that while all that's going on, there's somebody praising God. Why? Because I need to be certain that God has a reason, among those other things that I mentioned to you, to have mercy on this society. You know what goes on out here, right here, just in Times Square, just in this vicinity. Just you know what's going on. You know the sounds that are going up to the Lord, and you know the smoke that's going up to the Lord. You know what's going on there. Shouldn't we, like Abraham in the days of old, be certain that God has a reason to spare this community and to give men and women one more time to seek his face? Now, what if I can be a voice that cuts through all of the lies and all of the crime and all of the profanity and all of the things that go on in this society? What if I could be a voice that cuts through all that and gets right up to heaven and says, God, have mercy? If I could save the world simply by crying out to him from my prayer closet, if I could save the world by simply singing a sweet song to him, if I could save the world, give God a reason to save this society, to give it one more dawn so that somebody else might be saved, if I could do that, why wouldn't I? Because somebody stepped on my foot? Because the money's not flowing the way it used to? If I could save the world, why would I keep my mouth shut? And I'm not talking about running around and handing out 50,000 tracts. I mean, God bless you. If you like handing out tracts, God bless you. I like preaching. You like handing out tracts. Everybody's called to do something else. Everybody's called to do their thing. I've handed out a tract or two and probably will hand out a few more. That's not a biggie for me. My thing is I need to touch God. I love doing evangelism. I love doing apologetics and all that good stuff. I love preaching. That means nothing to me. The thing that matters to me is that I touch God. That's how I'm going to be used of God to save the world. That's how you're going to be used of God to save the world. By singing your sweet song to Him. By lifting up your voice and praising Him and making sure that there is somebody on the face of the earth that's giving Him glory. So that when He looks down to this thing, He can say, but wait a minute, I'm going to save it for this person's sake. How many times did God say over and over for Abraham's sake or for Isaac's sake or for Jacob's sake or for David's sake? How many times did God say, I'm saving a nation for an individual? He even saved a certain place, as we read in the scripture, for Lot. God had intended to destroy 5 cities. He only destroyed 4. You remember in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He only destroyed 4. He actually saved one because Lot happened to be there. Was Lot doing the right thing at the time? No, he wasn't actually. He wasn't supposed to be there. So he wasn't a perfect man. He didn't have it all together. He didn't dot every I and cross every T. He just happened to be one of God's people. He happened to be considered righteous by God. He was called righteous, just like you. And God saved an entire city just because somebody like you, somebody like me, was there. Think about that. Think about it. Now, here's the deal. Basic. This is not something that God did once. He did it over and over and over again. You remember Abraham's argument with God? Basically, it came down, if God could find just 10 righteous people in the entire region, He would have saved the entire region. He gave His word that He would do that. Now, here's the big question. Is God true? Because if God is true, that means you can save the world. Now, I know the lie of the devil. You know, he tries to tell us that we're basically, you know, descended from the primordial ooze and we just don't matter. I know the lie of the devil. He says God hears this person and that person, but He doesn't hear you because you're like righteous Lot. That means you're not perfect yet. You don't have it all together yet. You might have some struggles still. So God might save the world for this person, but not for you. I understand every lie of the enemy. Believe me, I've heard them all before. But I have also heard the truth of God. And the truth of God is very simple. You can save the world. You have sons and daughters who are not saved. You have husbands and wives who are not saved. You have mothers and fathers who are not saved. Cousins, nieces, nephews, and so on. You want to be sure that they have one more opportunity to save, to be saved, to hear the voice of the Lord and to turn. Then you worship God. If God moves you to hand them a track, hand them a track. If He moves you to invite them to church, invite them to church. If He moves you to open some scripture to them, open some scripture. Do whatever it is that He moves you to do. But one thing you must be certain to do. Give glory to God. And bless His holy name. See, as I mentioned before, He might ask you to do this thing. He might ask you to do the other thing. He might ask you to do the next thing. But He's asking us all to do this one thing. You want to know whether or not you're in the will of the Lord and whether or not you're doing ministry? Very simple. Are you loving Him? Are you blessing Him? Because if you're doing that, you are in the ministry. If you're doing that, you're saving the world. Again, what does the Bible say? If what I'm saying is borne witness to in your spirit and you see it in the scriptures, then there is no argument against it. None. You have been given the grace of God to save the world. I'm not speaking hyperbolically. I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you, that's the truth. Period. That's the way it is. So I praise God for these reasons that I mentioned to you. There are so many others, if I wanted to go into specifics. But I praise God because of who He is. I praise God because of who I am. I praise God because I want to do everything I can to defeat the lie of the enemy. I want to do what I can to save the world. I've been given a new life. I'm not going to waste it. I don't want it to be that when I stand before the Lord in that final time, that I have any reason to feel like I could have helped one more person and I didn't. Again, that doesn't mean that I get in the boat and travel all around the world and try to preach to everybody. I'm only going to preach to the ones that God has asked me to preach to, just like you. But I don't want it to be said that one day went by, no matter how bad that day was. And believe me, I've had some bad days in my life, my brothers and my sisters. I'm not preaching from an ivory tower. I don't ever want it to be that I look back and say, I could have saved the world that day. I could have been useful in the hand of God just to give him a reason, to give that person one more chance. Now, ultimately, people have to make their own decisions, but I, like I said, I have to make mine. My decision is to give glory to God. You know that scripture where the Lord talks about looking for someone to stand in the gap. And sometimes when we read it, we think that it means standing between, you know, say some good people over here and some enemies over there and so on and so forth. But that's not what it means. That's not what it says in the text. It means to stand between God's wrath and his people. And in that particular time, it was people who had been backslidden and so on. God is simply looking for you to stand in the gap. To run around the world and save 1,000 souls, if that's what he's calling you to do, yes. To raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, if that's what he's calling you to, yes. But one thing is certain. He is calling you to give him praise. He is calling you to bless his name, to love him and to honor him no matter what you're going through. No matter how difficult the times, no matter how difficult the trials, to give him his praise, give him his due, give him his honor. You will not lose by praising God. You will not lose if somebody says you look like or seem like a holier than thou. Brother, sister, just shut them out. Somebody tells you, you know, it ain't Sunday, what you doing with all that praise and glory coming out you? No, 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 you're a Christian every day. You're called to bless the Lord. Now, I had a teaching that I was going to share. And I'll share that next time around. But I had a prophetic word from the Lord that I just felt impelled to remind you of and to remind me of. We have a unique position in life. Nobody can do what we do. Nobody can do what we do. Anybody can hand out a sandwich. Anybody can hand out a tract. Anybody can preach. Anybody can teach. But nobody can do what the true Christian can do. Put a smile upon the face of God. To cause him to rejoice. Sometimes just to hear you say, Lord, I trust you. It's a wonderful feeling to know that people can see beyond their circumstances and see the great and the holy God standing there. In control of everything. It's a wonderful song we're going to sing in glory. And in those days, there won't be any need for any overhead or any hymn books. We will know the songs because throughout the course of life, we will have learned the song of trust, the song of faith, the song of hope, the song of love. Brother and sister, I say this and I close. If I thought that what God called me to do was simply to rattle off a few scriptures and give a couple of explanations, I don't know what I would do. I'd probably curl up in some fetal position somewhere and die. I'm called to save the world. And so are you. So are you. God is looking to do a thing in this generation. I don't know what it is, only I know that he's doing it, and that makes it awesome to me. And for some reason, he chose us. For some reason, he chose the weak things of the world. For some reason he chose the people who could and who should in the flesh say, no way. But we don't talk in the flesh. We don't live in the flesh. We don't believe in the flesh. We're not sons of Esau. We're not sons of Ishmael. We are not children of flesh. We are children of promise. We are going to save the world. We're going to do things in this generation. Brother and sister, I'm not prone to exaggeration. I've heard the voice of God. We're going to do things. We're going to see things that haven't been seen for a long time, that haven't been done for a long time. And you're not going to have to wait for some professional to do it. We're going to do it together. You're going to save the world. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven because of you. A lot of people in heaven because of you. A lot of men and women saved because of you. A lot of children who have been abused and who have been hurt, and they're going to be given new mommies and new daddies because of you. A lot of children around the world who are sniffing glue and shooting drugs and turning prostitute because they can't eat and they can't find a place to sleep, they're going to be changed because of you. They're going to be given hope because of you. Their lives are going to be different because of you. You understand, if you want to see revival, look in the Bible, then look in the mirror. Because that's revival. That's all that there is. The Lord is not going to pour out the Spirit a second time. He only needed to pour the Spirit out once. Now He's going to pour you out. And you're going to be able to say along with Paul, like a drink offering, I've been poured out. Too many times the Christian is saying, no, pour out your Spirit. But what we should be saying is, pour out mine. Break me like that alabaster box. Break me and pour me out until there ain't no more. And we should be singing songs like, fill me till I want no more. But we should also be saying, pour me out till they want no more. Amen. Because I need to help somebody. I need to make a difference. I need to be poured out. The Bible talks about Jesus and it said he himself took our infirmities and bore our illnesses. You hear a lot of people in this generation that want to do miracles. They want to touch people and heal people and so on and so forth. But I think, unfortunately, in many cases, it's for glamour. But when Jesus touched somebody, you understand what he was doing. He was willing to take their illness upon himself. You show me somebody who wants to heal that bad, and I will show you somebody who will work miracles. Literally, work miracles. Somebody who touches somebody and say, if that means I'm going to have their illness and they're going to have my health, so be it. I will show you somebody who, if they think that way, if they allow the Holy Spirit to cause them to think that way, I will show you someone who will work signs and wonders in this generation for real. My brother, my sister, hold your head up high because these are the best days of your life. This is the time to be alive. The time to be a Christian. If God has got to purge some things from you, he's got to bring you through a ringer a little bit, that's all right. Let him do whatever it takes. This is the time to be a Christian. Enjoy it, because it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to see a lot of changes, a lot of people won. Right smack in the middle of the darkness, there will be a light. God is good. Now, when you walk out from this place, be revival. Be salt. Be light. God moves you to talk to somebody on your job or somebody in your family, so be it. Or if he just draws you into a place of prayer and praise, so be it. Whatever he's asking you to do, do what it takes to save the world. When God was sending David into battle, he said, before you go into battle, I want you to rally to me. And when you hear the sound of a wind going over the mulberry trees, then you go out. We're going to save the world, but first we're going to rally to him. And then when we hear his army beginning to move overhead, we just start to go into this battle on another level. Won't be long. Get ready. Get ready. Because this is going to be awesome. This is going to be wonderful. Take the opportunity every day. Be sure, because I might forget one day, so you have to be sure to be certain that God is being praised today. That somebody is saving the world today. You might forget one day, so I have to be sure that there is somebody giving God a reason to spare this generation. So that the people that we love and the people that we don't even love and the people that we don't even know and the people who have even become our enemies might be given one more chance or maybe another chance, maybe I don't know, but somebody might be given a chance to be saved. That's your calling. It's your responsibility. That doesn't start tomorrow. It starts right now. It's actually started already, you understand. Don't forget to praise him. Don't forget to bless him. Don't come to a place like this waiting for something to happen to give you reason or give you cause or give you pause or give you purpose. No, 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 no. You bring that with you. And you be certain. The music might not go right. The preaching might not go right. Greg's microphone might go on mute or something like that. I don't know. You understand my point. So you bring praise. And you save the world. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah.